This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Emergency Family Shelter and the MBTA are two of the state's biggest pain points right now. One overwhelmed, one in disrepair, both facing deficits. Now, the governor and the legislature seem to agree on those points, which is good because they need to agree on a budget for next year to pay for them. But that is where things fall apart. At least for now. Yesterday, the House unveiled its budget proposal. It calls for more spending on the T than Governor Healey's plan, a lot more, and it would give the emergency shelter system half what the governor says it needs, and that could spell trouble ahead. WBUR state politics reporter Walter Wolfman is here to help us break it all down. Also here in Studio 2, Phineas Baxendall, who is interim president of the Massachusetts Budget and Policy Center. Walt, welcome back.
Hey, Tiziana.
Great to have you here.
Thank you.
Yep, and Phineas Baxendall, I think first time we were in Studio 2 together.
Yeah, great to be here.
Welcome back. Yes, great to have you. So, well, listen, I'm going to start really simple. We are one state of Massachusetts, so how do we already have two budgets?
We have two budgets. Eventually, there will be three.
Why?
And then really, eventually, there will be one. Okay. But we have the governor's proposed budget. We now have this first version of the House proposed budget. Sometime in May, we will have the state Senate proposed budget. All of those will become one that the governor signs at some point this summer.
And it's actually kind of how the negotiation goes, right? Everybody sort of anchors with what they want, right? And then there's lots of negotiating. The House and the Senate put one together, and then they send it to the governor, who can veto it or not veto it.
Exactly. And the governor, she proposes it first because she, you know, she's able to lay out her priorities and ideas for spending, sort of offer up like, hey, these are things I'm excited about and would love to sign. And it gives the House a good starting point, but they always have their own, you know, their own priorities and agendas, and same for the state Senate. So it's going to be a months long negotiation process.
Okay. Now, Phineas Baxendall, we will get to the two sort of disconnects that we really noticed, right, which are around the MBTA and around the Family Emergency Shelter System. Before we get there, let me ask you, on balance, as someone who watches this, would you say that the House budget and the governor's budget are mostly aligned, or do you see a lot of daylight between the two?
Well, big picture, they're quite closely aligned. I mean, as you say, they agree on what the pain points are. They aren't doing radically different things. I think the closer you are to this world and this stuff, the more kind of significant those differences can seem. But I think generally, if you compare us to other states where sometimes the governor would have radically different vision than the legislature, we're really, you know, we're talking about like DNA among primates.
And we should expect that given that we have a Democratic-run House and Senate and governor, yes?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, so Walter Wolfman, at the sort of meta level, one of the other things that we did notice is that the House plan and the governor both want to spend more than last year, even though revenue collections were lower for several months than anticipated. But the House wants to spend a little less more than the governor wants to spend more.
Yeah, so the House represents a 3.3% increase over last year's spending. The governor's proposal was a 3.7% increase. Both House and governor say, though, that these increases are sort of conservative. You know, usually you're looking at much larger increases that, you know, things go up every year. There's inflation, as we know, costs grow. You know, they're saying these budgets are really just in line, keeping everything running, you know, making sure the rainy day fund stays okay and, you know, navigating the ship through choppy waters. That was one of the metaphors used yesterday.
Okay. And Phineas, you say, you know, all shared DNA, fairly close aligned. I do want to point out that this, you know, 3.3% increase versus 3.7% increase seems small, but we're talking about what, $150 million? I used to run a nonprofit. That's like dozens and dozens and dozens of programs at nonprofits, for example, that would get cut with a $150 million difference between two budgets.
Completely. There are some real differences of priorities there.
Yeah. So what, point one out for us.
Well, so for instance, the governor is willing to spend more money on the low fares program at the MBTA than the House has shown so far. That's, you know, that's significant if you're depending on not having to spend a lot of discretionary money on the tea.
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up. And so here's what we're going to do. And what you're talking about is the low-income fare program that was just approved by the MBTA board. We actually talked with MBTA General Manager Phil Eng about that when he was with us just last week here on the show. I do now want to start to dive into these two places where there is some distance. So, Phineas Baxendall, Walt Wuthman, stay with me here. Don't walk out of Studio 2, but I'm going to bring another voice in here. We're going to talk about the tea portion of this a little more in depth, because on the line we have Stacey Thompson, who is Executive Director of the Transit Advocacy Group Livable Streets, often talks tea with us. Hey there, Stacey.
Hi.
All right, so Stacey, there is some real difference between what the House under Ron Mariano is saying they want to spend on the T and what Governor Maura Healey is saying she wants to spend. And I really took note of this because the governor's seemed quite clear that part of her reputation as a governor is going to rise or fall on how she handles the T, and she wants to spend less than the Massachusetts House does, Stacey Thompson.
Yes, this was certainly a pleasant surprise. The House's budget was a pleasant surprise for a lot of transit advocates because it represents a pretty marked increase. Just for some context, last year in fiscal year 2024, the governor signed about $187 million for the operating budget for the MBTA. This year, she suggested $250 million approximately, which is a big increase. And the House is proposing $314 million. So we're talking about a significant bump on the operating side, which is what pays, you know, salaries and pays the system to really function. So,
and to sort of put that in sort of it, for listeners, so the House is talking about nearly twice what the governor did last year.
Exactly. And to be totally candid, that is an appropriate amount of money to be putting toward the operating budget. For many years, the legislature was underfunding the T, and we were able to get away with that because we were understaffing and underpaying the T. So we would have, you know, this vision for what we needed, but we never quite got there year after year, which has gotten us where we're at today. I'm not quite as concerned about the reduction in support for the low-income fare program, because the MBTA staff said they expect the first year to cost about $25 million, and then in subsequent years for it to cost $50 or $60 million annually. And with this big bump, I think they can cover it this year. But, you know, and I'm curious what others on this panel are thinking, but this is just 2025, right? We have not solved the MBTA's long-term financial problems with this one-time infusion of funds.
So first, just for perspective, the House is saying, hey, we'll spend $20 million on these low-income fares in the first year. Governor Healey wanted to budget $45 million. Stacey, you're saying it's going to actually cost closer to what the House has in its budget. But I want to pull out that last piece of what you just said, Stacey Thompson. Neither of these budgets would fund what the T has estimated will be its shortfall fully for next year, correct?
Correct.
And not even close, right?
It's not crazy dire for next year, but we're talking about something within the next 2 years. We're looking at something like a $600 million shortfall. So I think what we see this year is we can probably get away with the House budget, but we're just buying time for a much harder conversation about how we're going to build the resources we need to properly fund the MBTA in the long term.
Okay, Stacey Thompson, before we let you go, is there any planet on which Governor Maura Healey says, no Massachusetts House, I would not like to spend as much as you would like to spend on the MBTA. Please cut it back.
I would be stunned. I certainly hope that is not the case. I think, I think that we could potentially see that if the governor is trying to balance this across the entire state, the state's budget. But again, we shouldn't be shortchanging the MBTA. We should be figuring out how to properly fund all of the programs we need to run the state properly, instead of, you know, creating bargaining chips between housing, transportation, taking care of migrants, right? We should be thinking about what we need and not where we cut along the edges.
All right, Stacey Thompson of Livable Streets, thanks for dialing in. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so back to you, Phineas Baxendall of the Mass Budget and Policy Center. Reactions there.
Well, I really agree with what Stacey's saying there. I think where she ended is talking about how what we're able to spend, the connection we have to that, and the revenue that we bring in. I mean, really big picture here, a budget, like a state budget, is how we as a community, the Commonwealth, bring together the resources we need to invest in the things that we can't do individually, whether it's schools, whether it's subways, all these things. That's fundamentally what a state budget is. And so if we're talking about, you know, taking from teachers to give to trains, that's not really the conversation we should be having, you know. So we should be talking about things like, you know, we are, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars less in available revenue because we are not taxing literally the richest families as much as we would have otherwise before we cut estate taxes, or we have a special sales tax exemption for aircraft. You know, aircraft which are used by the richest people, which are the most polluting source of transportation in our Commonwealth, and we are subsidizing it by giving it this kind of thing. Those are the kinds of things we should look at as a way to do all of the nice things we want.
And I'll note that the Massachusetts Budget and Policy Center has had public positions on various pieces of tax policy, things that the state has and has not passed. I want to get back to Walt Wuthman in just a second, but before I do, you talked about, you know, the false choice, in, as you put it, of taking from teachers to give to trains. Of course, there was a tax passed, an extra tax on people who make more than $1 million. It was meant to be allocated across education and transportation. And we look like we see a difference in how the two groups want to allocate that. So just one sentence, Phineas Baxendall, on how the Massachusetts House is looking at that versus Governor Healey.
So the House would give slightly more to transportation than to education. It was still not a 50-50 mix.
Okay. And I'll come back to you, Walt Wuthman. Something you want to say on the T, or do you want to move on to the emergency shelter system now?
The emergency shelter system is a huge question mark.
Okay. Yeah. So talk more about that.
So, you know, as this new budget for 2025 is coming out, House and Senate budget negotiators are still negotiating this supplemental budget to just cover the cost of the system last year,
This current year, right. Everything the three of us are talking about is for next year's budget,
right.
But we haven't settled the spending for this year's budget.
They need to pay it for this year's budget. So that's still going on. And they are proposing to tap this surplus fund that the House budget is also proposing to tap next year. So there's just some question marks that will be worked out with time. But importantly, you know, administration officials have estimated that the emergency family shelter system, which houses new arrivals to Massachusetts, pregnant women, unhoused families, they think it's going to cost about upwards of $1 billion to run next year. In the House budget, they've only allocated like $500 million for it. And in Governor Healey's budget, she's allocated even less. So there's a big question about where the money's going to come from if, in fact, the system is going to take close to $1 billion to run.
Okay, so that could signal a couple of things, Walt Wuthman. It could signal, listen, we're budgeting less because we don't plan to do it. When we get to the threshold, we're just not going to spend anymore and we're not going to have a system for people anymore. Or, as I think House Speaker Ron Mariano has said, we don't want to budget everything because we want to kind of ratchet up and ratchet down as we go.
Right. In some sense, I think they sort of like this system of passing supplemental budgets. No one likes it because it's uncomfortable and you have to argue all the time. But it does allow you to ratchet up the money and ratchet down the money and pass reforms. You know, in these two supplemental budgets they're working out right now, they're working on, you know, a limit saying people, you know, have 9 months in these temporary shelters, and then, you know, the House says that they can extend to 12 and the Senate says that they can get these rolling extensions. But basically this is a limit on how long people can stay in the system. And when you are passing money piece by piece like this, you can control the way the system works.
So Phineas Baxendall, is that, I won't say normal, is that typical? Have we seen budget supplements done on other kinds of issues piecemeal like this in order to maintain policy control as we go along?
We get a lot more supplements now because things have been so unpredictable and such a kind of crazy roller coaster ride with the pandemic and these huge infusions of federal money. So it's the supplements are a way to kind of smooth out what those differences are. You know, one of the things that's really different now is just how extreme the lack of housing affordability is. So when you talk about assuming that people coming out of shelter are going to be able to afford housing, that's just a heroic assumption. You know, in the House budget increases slightly this, you know, vouchers for rentals by about 20% or so, but that's not a kind of game changer type of thing. There's no reason to expect that these people coming out of the shelters are going to be able to find affordable housing when the rest of people can't.
Yeah, and I wanted to underscore that when you talk to providers and advocates, you know, there are many more migrants coming into Massachusetts and many parts of the United States, that's true. But we are also dealing with an acute housing crisis in Massachusetts. And that's why this emergency shelter system is so overburdened. There are two crises happening at the same time.
Well, and as I understand it, we are the only state in the United States with a guaranteed right to shelter law for families, Walt Wuthman.
Yeah, the only state.
Okay.
That's right. Some cities have something like it, but we're the only state that has a guaranteed right to shelter for pregnant women and unhoused families.
And Walt, in a sentence, you know, what do you watch for now? What's next?
So the Senate will come out with their proposal sometime in May. They'll have differences.
The third one,
they'll have right. differences. And then it will be, a months-long process to get down to one. And I will just say that Massachusetts has not passed a budget on time by July 1st when the fiscal year starts in 13 years.
So that, you know, if past is prologue, ...
Yeah.
Okay. Walt Wuthman, WBUR State Politics Reporter, Phineas Baxendall, Interim President of the Massachusetts Budget and Policy Center. I want to thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.